church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, when he said he was going to build his church, we have looked at this verse that there are two interpretations. Some would interpretate this as the universal church. We reject that. This verse is talking about the institution of the New Testament local church. That's what he was going to build. That's what the disciples built. The disciples built New Testament local churches. And wherever they went, that's what they did. Now, we would have to say that obviously they understood what the Lord was saying. They had obviously understood what he was talking about. Now, we looked at some important verses in the Bible that use grandiose phrases referring to the New Testament local church. Okay, where's the first one in the book of Acts that you find a grandiose phrase used of the New Testament local church? What chapter and what verse? Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Now, you all should know that by that answer. There is a place in the New Testament, right in the book of Acts, uses grandiose terms referring to the New Testament local church. And it said, of course, the context, verse 17, Paul is speaking to the elders from the church of Ephesus. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So here are the officers of the church. He's talking to them. Okay? And what does he say? Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. There's the word bishop. Right, Jacob? Right? Word bishop. Bishop is an overseer. Okay? To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, if you think of it from a from the universal church standpoint, they, oh yeah, the church that he purchased with his own blood. The church, universal church, he purchased with his own blood. But is that what he's talking about? No. You aren't going to feed the universal church. You aren't feeding, the elders aren't going to feed the universal church. What church are they going to feed? The New Testament church at Ephesus. That's who they're feeding. Okay? And it's very simple. But they're talking about a local New Testament church, and they're using these grandiose phrases that people who interpret this all wrong, they get, oh yeah, the church that he purchased with his own blood. Okay, so that's the universal church. Well, you can think that, but that's not what the context is. That's not what it's saying. And so it's using this grandiose term, the church that he's purchased with his own blood. And what is he talking about? New Testament local church. Okay? Now, why are we going over this? Because you know what? If you don't start thinking the way the Bible is, then you accept the false teaching of the interdenominationalists and you make the Bible say something it doesn't say. Okay? So, elders at the church of Ephesus. Now, this is the second time that God uses grandiose terms, and he's talking to the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Where's that? And he uses grandiose terms speaking of the New Testament church. 1 Timothy 3:15, okay? You know, you ought to be able to shout those verses out, folks. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. I think it was probably the third time we brought it. But remember, God, hear it seven times before you get it. Seven times before you get it. So we're halfway there. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 15. Are you there? Okay? Who's not there? Get there. Open your Bible up. Okay, good girl. Verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Now we're talking about behaving yourself in the house of God. That's pretty local, isn't it? Pretty local church. That thou mayest know how thou behave thyself in the house of God. Now think about the book of Timothy. It tells you about the officers of a church, the qualifications of the officers. It talks about the roles of men and the roles of women in the local church. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 3 talks about the officers of the local church. Chapter 1 talks about the doctrine in the local church. It's talking all about the local church, or local New Testament church. And then he's talking about this verse. It says that thou mayest know how thou art to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Think of that phrase. The church of the living God. Well, that's a grandiose phrase, isn't it? Now you talk to a universal church person and use the phrase, the church of the living God. Oh, what are they thinking? Universal church. But is that how the Bible uses it? Not at all. He's talking about the New Testament local church. And he calls that New Testament local church the church of the living God. You're not talking about a universal church. Now, so we have to get in our mind that God uses these grandiose phrases, the church of the living God, the church which he purchased with his own blood. And he uses grand, and he's talking, and it cannot be anything but the New Testament local church. It cannot. Those places cannot refer to that so-called universal church. It is impossible. It doesn't. It, period, doesn't. But those are grandiose phrases. Now, so let's continue our journey. Elders at the church at Ephesus, okay, uses this phrase, the church of the living God. Okay? The pastor of the church at Ephesus, Timothy, the church of the living God. Okay? Now, so when you go to the book of Ephesians, you're going to find those same grandiose phrases. Right? Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, it has some of these great phrases here. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Chapter 5, verse 25. Are you there? Okay, you got to see it with your own eyeballs. Otherwise, you won't believe what I say. It will go right above your head. You got to see it with your eyeballs. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What's it talking about? Universal church? Wait a minute. He said in Acts 20 that, talking to the Ephesian elders, that the church which he purchased with his own blood. And he's talking about New Testament local church. So what is he talking about here? That when he loved the church and gave himself for it. Is he talking about universal church? No. He's using the same kind of phraseology that he used when he's talking to the Ephesian elders, when he's talking to the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And now again, here we have, what do we have? We have the church at Ephesus. And what do you, these grandiose phrases that he loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, a universal church person is going to see that and say, oh, man, he loved the church. Okay, I understand what they're saying, I'm just being a little bit exaggerated here, but it's not what it's talking about. You know, one of the primary thoughts about interpreting the New Testament is you interpret the New Testament in its historical context, right? Always it's a historical context. And so, I remember I was at an ordination council and a fellow believed in the universal church. And I said, tell me, what verse in the Bible where the word church is used, it has to refer to a universal church? Has to. And the fellow correctly said, none. None. But we made it very clear that there's, that this grandiose phrase used of the New Testament church has to refer to New Testament local church and cannot refer to so-called universal church. And what they mean by that is they mean the all believers. Well, those believers never will assemble until the rapture. And then it's going to be a church. Because it's going to assemble. And all the believers will be there of this age. And so there is a future church that's going to assemble. But the New Testament uses these glorious phrases of the New Testament church. Now, as we think about that, let me take you one step further. There's two books in the Bible that people take the phrase of the universal church and really kind of, you know, make it big. And there's two books, Ephesians and Colossians. We already dismantled the Ephesians problem because it's the Ephesian people that he's talking to when he uses these phrases, the church of the living God, referring to the New Testament church. Secondly, if you know the Bible, history of the Bible, you know that Colossians was written at the exact same time as Ephesians. It's one of the prison epistles. In fact, the book of Colossians has the same list of subjects in it that the book of Ephesians has. There's a rehash of the same great subjects of Ephesians and Colossians. Okay? So, it all must be understood in that important perspective to interpret the Bible correctly. Now, let's try to make an application here. I think the application is this. The New Testament local church is very big in the eyes of God. It is very big in the eyes of God. And the local New Testament church is not just some church. And of course, that's the way people think nowadays. Well, just church, just a church. But you know, that's not how God talks about the New Testament church. It says that the New Testament church, that it's the house of God. It's the church of the living God. That's a big, important phrase, isn't it? That's what he says. It's the church of the living God. It belongs to God. It's His church. It's the church of the living God. What does he say about the church? It says that he loved the church. You know what? He loved the New Testament local church. Now, people don't think that way. They don't think that way. There's so much of this interdenominationalist thinking going through people's minds that they don't think correctly. And so when they think of the New Testament church, they kind of think, well, you know, you got to be a member of a church, you know. I mean, you got to be a member of a church, you know, the church, you know, okay, well. No, God says he loved the church. Talking about the New Testament local church. And so when you use these big grandiose phrases, people think, oh, can't talk to refer to local church because the local church isn't important. No, he's using these grandiose phrases. Why? Because that's exactly what God thinks about the New Testament church. And we need to get our thinking squared up with what the Bible says. And you know what? When we get our thinking squared up with the Bible says, things are going to be a lot different. But until our thinking is squared up with the Bible says, really in our thinking, oh, church, no, okay, got to have a church, you know. Got to go to church, you know, yeah, but you know, eh, you know, it's my life and God's got a plan and I can kind of live my own life and, nah, church. Well, you say, what do you mean by it, Pastor? Well, the fact is, you know what? The average New Testament church, they have about 10% of their attendance of Sunday morning on Wednesday night, if they even have one. What does that tell you about how important they think New Testament church is? That just gives you an idea. New Testament church in people's thinking is not important. It's just a known concept today that people don't think that way about the New Testament church. And the church is kind of like secondary to them. You know, go find one that fits into my plans and, you know, you don't like that preacher, go to the next one and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There's nothing, the institution of the New Testament church is not a high in people's thinking and understanding of the Bible. Okay? Now, so let's think of Ephesians chapter 2. Well, we've tried to discover this principle of the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1. Notice it says in verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now remember, be consistent in your understanding, interpretation of the Bible. You know, it says that in God's plan, the New Testament church is the fullness of Christ. It's the fullness of Christ. It's his body. It's the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, let's go back in our thinking to Matthew 16:18. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let's go back to that principle. What is the center of God's plan for this age? New Testament church. That's the center of his plan. Now, let's stop a minute. What's the problem today? Are churches weak or churches strong? Answer the question. Weak. You know, I suppose in the public, Mequonago Baptist Church is considered right-wing, Max, legalist, you know, conservative, ultra conservative, Marine Sergeant Church of Wisconsin. Yeah? You know what McGonagall Baptist Church is like? How strong are we? Not very strong. Got a lot of people that are struggling to live for God. Got people who really don't love holiness. In their heart, they're kind of close to the world. Got a lot of people that leave on Wednesday night, don't even stay for prayer. We got a lot of problems. Now, the church is a hospital, and thank the Lord, we're going to get victory through the Lord. But you know, if our right-wing, fundamentalist, separatist, anti-new evangelical, ultra-fundamentalist church is weak, what are the other ones like? What are the other ones like? You see, God's plan for this age at the New Testament church. And the reason for the fact that the world is not being reached for Christ, the reason the gospel is not going forth with power, the reason that people aren't being saved like they ought to be saved, the reason that our world and its culture is just crumbling before us is because there aren't many New Testament churches, and the ones that are out there are really weak. How can we expect the world not to be going downward morally when churches are just kind of, they're just kind of hanging on by their fingertips? You understand what I'm saying? See, the center of God's plan is the New Testament church. That is the center of His plan. And it's important for us to understand that principle. I know our time is up, but I had three, just a couple thoughts I wanted to share with you. Kind of give us the idea of the principle of what is a real church. I had some thoughts here. A New Testament church is committed to the Great Commission. You know, they have these home churches. They're almost a laughingstock in my book. They aren't a New Testament church. Because a New Testament church is committed to the Great Commission. A New Testament church is committed to getting the gospel out to the ends of the world. Now, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. You know, the Great Commission is centered around the New Testament church. The church, its job is to evangelize the nations. It is to disciple. It is to baptize disciples. It is the place where you teach people all things whatsoever you commanded. The church has a doctrinal statement. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's just not a formula. That's a doctrinal position. And that's part of it. The New Testament church is committed one to another. The Bible says that His church is His body. And it functions like a spiritual, invisible body. And when one member succeeds spiritually, the whole church is blessed. And when one member is failing, the whole church is affected by it. The church is a body that is committed one to another. Thirdly, the church is a group of people who are committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And you know, you think about that. You know, it says that wives obey your husbands even as Christ obeyed the church. I mean, even as the church obeyed Christ. Well, you know what that's saying? It's saying that the church is a group of people who obey Christ. Right? He's the Lord. You know, this is not an option. You know, hey, I want to join that church, but, you know, Lordship of Jesus Christ, no one's going to tell me what to do. No way. That's not a church. He's the head of the body. That means he's the boss. It means that, hey, we don't do what we want to do. We do what Christ says. There's a whole higher level of obedience to Christ in New Testament church than an individual Christian. You know, an individual Christian out there, they can be Mr. Nice Guy, but they don't have to act any particular way at all because they have no responsibility. They can do whatever they want. They aren't under the lordship of Jesus Christ. The local church is committed to the truth of the Bible. And maybe we'll get there next week. It said in Ephesians chapter 1, it says to Timothy, teach people that they teach no other doctrine. Boy, that's a Christ statement. Why? Because a church stands for the truth. It has a doctrinal position, the position of the Bible. It says don't let anything else be taught. The New Testament church is committed to the truth. And so you can see the inner tentacles, the bind, the bonds, the strengths of a church has to do with these principles of commitment to the Great Commission, commitment to one another, a commitment to the lordship of Christ, the commitment to the truth of the Bible. That's carrying it another great truth for how can the church be the fullness of him that filleth all in all? Man, I wondered, I think the New Testament church was like that. But how many New Testament churches today are the fullness of him that filleth all in all? What a tremendous truth. The fullness of him. And you know, one of the great truths is that people who know God, their greatest hunger is that they can be a New Testament Christian. They can be a New Testament. They can be the kind of Christian was found in the New Testament. And our goal ought to be that our church can be a New Testament church. Our church can be a New Testament church. And there's plenty of churches out there, but God wants a church to be a New Testament church. And that ought to be our great hunger. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truths. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand these great concepts of the Bible, of the fact that your plan for this age is this miracle institution, the New Testament church. And Lord, I pray that we would understand the greatness of your plan. The greatness of what this institution is supposed to be. And may we hunger, Lord. May we hunger that our church will be what it's supposed to be. I pray that we would hunger as people. That we'd be able to hunger that truly, like the Bible says, the angels of God would look down and marvel at the wisdom of God in the church, through the church. Of your plan. And Lord, we need your working in our hearts. We need your working in this church. We need a definite moving of your spirit to understand these truths and to submit to your plan for our lives and for this age. And that, Lord, there needs to be a hunger in our heart. that this church would function like a New Testament church. And it would be the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And we know it only can come, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit filling us and us being completely yielded to You. May it be so, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.